Let's head to Indiana University. Another person having a very busy day. It's the head coach of the Indiana Hoosiers. It is our great friend Todd Yeagley. Good afternoon, buddy. How are you?
Good, Glass. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, my man. Everybody's moving and grooving. The NBA trade deadline is today, and Indiana men's soccer had a big announcement. A couple big announcements today. Number one, one of your former players is heading to the Indy 11, and as we always do this time of year, it's National Signing Day, and the 2024 recruiting class is up and ready to go. Who's heading to the Indy 11 from your squad from last year, my friend?
Arson Enderlong, which is really nice because he's an in-state kid that obviously came to us kind of on the back end via transfer based on our needs. one we always liked, but at the time we didn't have the positional need, and we get him for two seasons, and I thought had a really kind of breakout year for us this year. And was playing, I think, some of his best soccer he's played in the later stages of the season, which propelled him right into a training opportunity and a tryout with Indy 11. They liked him, and it's our first Indy 11 IU player in a little bit. So, which we think, goodness, so we should ultimately, I'd love to see one every year, not every year, but at least a couple with the great tie into the state. So Carson Erlong to Indy 11's really good news for everyone.
Yeah, and last time we talked last week, we talked about Hugo Bacharach heading to Minnesota United, continuing that streak of top 10 players drafted from Indiana University over the years. And, well, that ties right into this year's recruiting class. How important is it to when you're on the road? I know they know what those stars on your Adidas jackets and hats mean, and then you show them how many guys you put in the league. Well, and the Kelly School and the academics we have and the climate and the culture, it doesn't always sell itself. You and Roby and Christian and the gang got to do a little work here, but it's a pretty good foundation you guys have built.
Yeah, we got a lot to show, and again, Glass, going back, why do we become the top program? Initially, IU soccer wasn't IU soccer. So, the university, the campus, the town, we know it. We've been here a long time. It's an unbelievable place to be, in particular in those ages. And so to get a player on campus and have the family see it, and then to show them all the things, the support and the facilities, but ultimately it's our players and the program that what they want to be involved with. They want to be part of something really big. They want to be part of the top college program for 50 years. They want to add to that. And that's not for everyone. There's a lot of responsibility that comes to that. And the kids that really are driven, that want to be challenged and don't want to be necessarily the guy day one, even though some might be the guy day one, it's not guaranteed here. And that really attracts a certain competitive spirit, something we look for, and every player in this class, I think, embodies a lot of those things. And then certainly you got to have the talent and certain skill sets that will help us win games in different ways. And this class is, I'm super excited. I mean, we've had this group, committed for a while, but to kind of release it to the public officially is exciting because I know our fans are really pumped to see these kids play.
Absolutely. Todd Yeagley, head coach, Indiana men's soccer. I got a billion questions because I get excited this time of year as well. And I know some people listening. How do you balance the transfer portal? How do you balance the recruiting rankings/services? And how do you balance that all together with positional need? I know we could talk about this for 4 hours, but do you have a hierarchy of how that fills in? Do you try to make sure you get recruiting classes, then fill with the transfer or positional? Give us a little inside baseball here on how a class comes together.
Money ball, right? We're going to figure all this all out. Try to manage it with 9 scholarships for 30-some players. That's not easy. And many don't even know that, Class. I think a lot of your listeners, we have 9.9 scholarships, which doesn't even feel the starting lineup. And so we break our scholarships up in every way you can imagine to give opportunities and some type of aid if we can. Luckily there's merit aid that IU provides, which is wonderful. We have quite a few on that. They're really smart kids. And then there's other opportunities to earn money these days with NIL and whatnot. But it's complicated, and in a sense that you have to prepare for so many scenarios when you're recruiting. And we're ultimately looking, okay, how do we make this next year's team the best it can be, but without like forgetting about what we have to do the next year and the next year. And I guess the easiest thing to look at is that, you know, we could overspend every year if we didn't have a budget, and we'd be in trouble, right? And it'd be like maxing out your credit card. You can't do it. You got to leave some in the chest to reward players that are already here. And then you have to be able to leave some to be able to pivot with transfers, knowing that, you know, we really need this for next year. We just don't have it ready yet. Or we lost a player early, or a player we've got to switch positions because we needed another need. And now we have this big need. And how do we fill it? Well, transfer portal. There you go. And that's been really helpful. So it's a little hybrid of everything, but it's different than many years past, where it would be like you're looking for all of your holes to be filled with the internal and recruits, meaning you know, you got to prepare some, and maybe it's a kid that's maybe 1 or 2 years here in the program and now it's his time, or you'd fill it with a natural incoming freshman. I think it's now a kind of a trifecta. It's the developing kids. The Ryan Wittenbrink, great example. Now, our last cycle wasn't ready day one, but man, he was year three and four. It was really good. And transfers, you saw that with a Hugo, a Simon Waver, et cetera. And then incoming freshmen that are ready to compete day one, and you see that every year. This year we had two freshmen start. Next year, who knows? But that's how we do it, and we work really hard. Staff does an amazing job, and we're all on the same page, and I think that's important. You got to have a staff that has similar understanding of what we're looking for, but also, you know, just not telling me what they think I want to hear. They really do bring good things up, and ultimately our players are our best recruiters, and they help a tremendous amount on making kids want to be here, and that's really important.
Todd Yeagley, Indiana men's soccer. 9 new players in the announced class this afternoon. And Coach, when you talk about your players being your best recruiters, well, your entire staff is former players as well. The fit is just as important as the talent, or is it even more important than the talent when you're on the recruiting trail?
It's equal. You can't get lost in an ability and certain skill set. You have to have certain things, but we will always, and you mentioned on the front end, I could care less what star they are. I don't even really pay attention to any of that. And that's where people can go wrong. It doesn't matter what the outside thinks. It matters what their club coach and high school coach and other people that are around them think about the kid. But a rating to get a ranking is really the least, you know, that's the least I could care about. If we do get a good ranking, absolutely, you put it out there. You know, it's nice. we're not gonna hide it, but we don't recruit with that in mind. And often, when kids commit here, typically their stock goes up. Is that the brand? I think so, to some extent. But also, I think we do a nice job of finding kind of late developers, late bloomers. The next thing you know, in their senior year, they start taking off, or they get a call into the national team that they've never gotten, or people start taking notice a little bit. And so I think oftentimes our classes end up getting a high ranking, but it wasn't because the kid initially was this blue chip, you know, 5-star kid. So it's a part of how our mindset is.
The recruiting class, 9 of them. And if we looked at them quickly, Oak Park, Illinois, Centerville, Ohio, Elmhurst, Illinois, Tampa, Florida, Munster, Indiana, New Albany, Ohio, Caseyville, Illinois, Chicago, Illinois, Brownsburg. Well, that's a pretty hotbed right here in 180 miles in a circle, buddy. That's an exciting problem to have. Well, and sometimes you got to get down to Tampa a little bit, right?
Yeah, I think this is a class that kind of screams our philosophy. Maybe one more player out of region would have been kind of normal in a class of this size, but you know, we have the circle, and we'll go an hour in or out of that circle, but our 4 hours is pretty good. If we can get the top kids in Ohio, get the top kids in Kentucky, get the top kids in Missouri, Michigan, Illinois, and obviously here in our own place, but they fit our needs too, Glass. I mean, when I say best kids that fit or have a need, then you then just need a splash: Tampa, Denver, New York, New Jersey, California, and you'll see some more of that, no doubt. But we got to win that first, and we go inside out, and that's why the Chicago and St. Louis kids, as we all have been well documented through the years and worked the way, the documentary does a great job describing that, is that those places are going to continue to churn out players, and those alums that go back and live there, you know, those kids are already hearing about IU soccer, and whether it's their club coach or their teacher or their friend or their uncle of a friend of a friend is, and two, the alumni are living alumni of the university. There's without a doubt, any kid that comes here from 4 hours away, there's someone they know that had a great experience in Indiana. And that, I'm not talking about an athlete, just a student. And does that sell IU? For sure. And we'd never take that for granted. Some of the recruiting, you know, challenges are already won when you have such an important family friend or a relative or the parents themselves have an experience at IU that they really cherish. We're already halfway winning at that point with the recruit.
How many of these battles do you get beat in, buddy? Not many?
We do pretty good.
I was going to say.
We do pretty good in our battles. Yeah, we have a good winning percentage in those battles.
That translates.
The battles can be a financial battle.
Sure. Well, that's kind of where I was going with that. You only get 9.9, but that's not you. That's everybody has 9.9. That is just not a Big Ten rule or something crazy like that.
Right. So, I mean, a good example, Blast, could be, you know, an out-of-state kid that we really like, but we just don't have a huge financial opportunity to give because we don't have it. To give that player, although we think he's going to be able to develop and punch his weight at a high number, we just don't have it. And so we might give an offer, and then the other school comes in with everything. We win those a lot too. Luckily, we do. But that might be the reason the family just cannot afford it, and it's hard to pass up, you know, that amount of money. And I understand that. That might be the loss. But even those, we do pretty well with. You know, equal money and all that. It's good winning.
Translates to that winning percentage on the field as well. We look at the nine newcomers. A quick glance, I don't see a goalkeeper in your class. How important is that, or unimportant is it? As we, well, there's still time to maneuver, and you've got guys on the roster as well. We know that's an important position on the field.
No, you hit it. That's an area we're still looking, whether that be a 24 or a transfer international. So I'd say more often than not, that's going to become an international option for us, because around the world right now, you know, Christian's over in Spain right now recruiting, and you know those kids are making late decisions on turning pro or rerouting. You know, and in the U.S., I mean, the rest of the world is really catching on that, you know, our soccer. The college soccer is a really cool way to keep a really high level of play and opportunity to get an education, and we have some of the best institutions in the world, right? And so it's not a hard sell these international kids to go, instead of going to lower levels in their country and maybe never really making it up in a career, if you will. I mean, they'll sign pro somewhere. They'll have to say, I can go to college in the U.S. and play at this level in these great places, like, those kids are all in, and that's why you're seeing, you know, 30-40% of internationals in Division One is now our number. It's nearly 40% of the Division One players are international. They see it, and it is blocking a little pathway for the American. Don't want to get too philosophical right now, but it is making it challenging for the American player to hit top rosters because of that. But back to the goalkeeping, we're not done yet. I mean, you'll see a move or two more left before this is all said and done. This roster is not set, and we're working on some things as we speak. So I think when we chat here in the weeks and months ahead, we'll have some more news to talk about.
Excellent, my friend. And anybody in the class that jumps off the page, I know last year you couldn't wait to tell me about Collins Orduro and the special skill set he had. How does this class work out? Do you have the elite player in there, or is it more balanced? How would you assess this this group of nine?
Well, I think there's some scoring in this class. You know, in particular with Bogart and Nessie out of Chicago, both these kids score goals. And I love that our two in-state kids, one being a back half player with Drew up in Brownsburg, and then Nolan Cancel, I think, is going to be a sneaky, many don't know about him. And the unique thing, too, is, Glass, these two guys are starting on their high school basketball team right now.
Oh, nice.
As a two and a three at their respective high schools in Munster and Brownsburg. So very complete players. They're late bloomers. And then you can't not look at the two, you know, center backs coming in with Lindemore and Mayer. These two are both leaders, captains of their respective clubs, already getting chances with the second team. And obviously Drew Dadosh, the captain down in his high school and playing for Cup. I keep going, but there's leadership. I love that we have proven goal scorers, which is an important thing. And we have what we call kind of the versatile late bloomer category covered with this group. And I'm the Charlie Horner is a great example. I mean, Charlie was a kid that just joined the Fire last year. He was with FC United, a very good club in Chicago. And now he's training regularly with the second team and being pulled up to the first team training. And we are really bullish on him as he's kind of the heir apparent to Patrick McDonald. You know, if you like Patrick's game, you're going to like Charlie Hoyer's game. So between the scoring, the midfield, the leadership in the back, the versatility of a Drew and a Nolan, the kind of proven characters of a Drew Gadosh, you know, Easton Bogard kind of has the Sammy Sarver like personality in the field. He just, this blonde hair, you're going to kind of just see running like crazy. That's Bogard. It's an easy guy to kind of fall in love with when you watch how hard he plays. And the Mayors are all Mayors. So, you know, if you like Jack and Joey Mayer, you're going to like Josh Mayer.
And this is the last one, so you better get your tickets now. You better get on board. There aren't any more Mayors. That's it.
There's not any more. I've asked their family to go rethink that, and they've said that's closed. But yes, this Josh is that's all I can say, because all of our fans have watched the Mayors. They all have amazing similar skill sets. That's Josh Mayer in a new 17-year-old body, and he's doing really well. So I'm pumped with this group, and we've already talked about our two transfers. So just right now, these 11 new players that were not here last fall, I am really getting – I get excited talking about this thing. I mean, we got a spring season to play, which obviously doesn't have all these pieces, but I am I, along with our staff and I think our team – they know what's coming in. They know what we return. And this is a really bullish, driven team right now. It's got a mission, and that's exciting to see.
Competition is very important between those lines, and it never ends, and everybody knows that. They knew it when they walked in the door as freshmen. Now they know it, even if they're upperclassmen, that the next generation's in. And folks like to say iron sharpens iron, and I think it would be very, very close to that. Saturday, the 24th, 2 weeks from this Saturday, will be the first exhibition game. Bill Armstrong Stadium, IUPUI, is in town. Let's get together that week, buddy, and we'll get the strategy behind spring. Some players will be looking forward to see either in new positions or work their way up through the ladder. But, yeah, we're getting closer and closer to it. Thank you so much for your time today, man. You're the best.
Thanks, Glass. Appreciate it.